For 7 seasons, we dived into the themes, metaphors, and foreshadowing of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We are your hosts,
Leah,
Tabby,
and Sarah. Welcome to Becoming Buffy bonus content. Hey guys, welcome to Becoming Buffy. Wow, I haven't said those words in a while.
I know.
I was like sitting here, wait, what show am I on? What am I saying? First and foremost, unfortunately, Leah is not here today. It is just Tabby and I. So I know this
Leah's
is
on maternity leave.
100 stops, 100 people stopping the episode right there. Like, oh, Leah's not here. Forget it all. So you guys have to just bear with it being just the two of us today. Yeah, she had her baby a month ago. He's adorable. He's cute. We love him so much. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she's busy. We're going to give her grace for that. She wishes she could be here. We wish she could be here, but you know, it is what it is. But
what a rough week in the fandom.
Talk about, yeah, what a rough week. We're recording this probably right before I'm going to air it. I'm not sure what day this next week I'm going to be releasing it, but right now today is the 21st, and we just are reeling from the news of Nicholas Brendon's death yesterday. And I was just telling Tabby, I was like, I still feel like I'm reeling from Michelle Trachtenberg's death last year, and then everything with the revival happening. I don't know. I've cried a few times this week. I was telling Brandon from Revamped. It's been strangely emotional. And so there's several reasons for us coming on here and talking with you guys about everything. But one of the bigger reasons was I felt the need, and I wanted to hear what you've been thinking and processing this week, Tabs, because we haven't really had the chance to talk about any of the news other than in passing. I also wanted a chance to be able to kind of like talk about what I'm thinking and feeling and processing, discuss, you know, the news with the revival. I know a lot of us are kind of in mourning for several reasons. And sometimes it's really helpful to hear someone else talking about it and airing their grievances. And so hopefully maybe you guys can also help process things. I've actually received several emails from people. Like when the news first broke out, a couple of you guys emailed me and were like, oh my gosh, do you know what's happening? Are you aware? And this was very early on. And I just was like, this is what I know. And I'm sure more news will come out. And then sure enough, more news came out. And it felt like last weekend, especially, it felt like every couple hours there was more stuff coming out. And it just felt so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. I think at one point, Leah messaged me and was like, okay, I'm ready for it to be done now.
No, literally.
And I just was like, yeah, it felt like getting hit over the head repeatedly. So yeah, I don't know, Tabby, tell me what you're thinking and feeling about, especially the revival being canceled and all that stuff.
I think like it's so funny starting off hearing about the revival, and then I just was kind of like apprehensive, and then I went through this whole like phase of like,
yeah,
are any like revivals even that good? And then I was like, no, some of them are pretty decent. Like some of them are actually pretty good. And then I got to a place where I was genuinely excited for it. Like I had genuine faith in it. Same. And so I think that's what sucks. And I think from
I went from, oh, worst thing I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. I'm so depressed to, okay. Whoa. And then getting so excited and then just being like,
no. And I think
why did
like,
they even announce it as the first
like, time? I'm like, I know. Oh my God. But like, I think that that's the general consensus from what I'm seeing online is people are like genuinely bummed because they're like, we actually think this could have been good. And I think that's what makes it suck more. It's like seeing everyone feel the same way as me. I'm like, well, damn, like I knew it was going to be good, but like now I'm like even more pissed. And I think the way that it was axed also makes me pissed.
Yeah.
I just like, I saw Sarah Michelle Gellar in an interview this past week, mm-hmm. as we all did. She's had several of them because she's doing press at the same time.
Timing
for
on not there.
I know.
And
yeah, she's like doing press.
Milking this for all it's worth as she should.
Yeah. I actually have a theory about that, but I don't think it's going to work. I think that she's talking about it and like she and everything to kind of see if something else can happen with it. She's never this vocal ever. I think it, I don't know, because she was on an interview, like a radio interview with Catherine Newton. And she's like, was like, oh, you guys are going to be really bummed. Like, I was going to have Catherine Newton come on the show.
Uh-huh.
And so I think she's doing all this to kind of see if strings can be pulled. I don't know. That's my theory.
Possibly.
Possibly. Because I'm just like, I don't know. She's never this open and honest about stuff. I think maybe it could be that she's really bummed about it, sure, but I don't know. Either way, I think I'm the most bummed about just not having Buffy on my screen in such exhausting and horrible political times that we're in right now. I felt like it just really would have worked. I feel like we're in that sweet spot where I think people would have absorbed the type of show that the Buffyverse brings. I think it just felt like it would have clicked. And then I'm also like really, and I know this sounds really parasocial, but I'm like also really feeling really, really bad for Ryan. Like I
don't think that's parasocial. I mean, this is probably going to be a career maker.
I know.
Her. Not
and
that
that's
she's
what
not
makes me
got
sad.
Other projects.
Like, for equal
she was
reasons,
excited.
Yeah. For equal reasons that I was excited for her to get into the show, I'm equally, for those same reasons, sad that she's not in the show because she was a relatively unknown. She's done some small, like, credit stuff, but she's relatively unknown. She has passion for the show and loves it. And she seems genuinely hardworking and talented. And so I feel the same ways. It just now even mm-hmm. sad because I felt like this would have been a great fit for her as an actress, but also for like the show that we all love. I feel like it just really would have worked. So I just like, I really hope that she finds something that will give her a boost. Just as much as this one would have too. And I think also too, like having Chloe Zhao, like I was like, wow, like she seems a great fit too to be running this. Like not only is she a woman who cares about the source material, but she has like a credit to her name, you know? So I think I'm just bummed. Like this past week, I've just been like, disappointed, and I don't even know if I'm like fully even grasp it, because I think there's a part of me that's like maybe something could happen, but maybe that's just wishful thinking. But yeah, it's been odd. And then yeah, the news with Nicholas yesterday, it's just like, man, like so many things to process.
Yeah. I'm not gonna really go into all of the news from the past week because I feel like it's pretty accessible. Everyone can kind of find it. It just a real brief rundown is, you know, last Friday, Sarah Michelle Gellar was about ready to step onto stage to promote her movie Ready or Not 2. And that's when she got the call from the executives telling her that her show's been axed. And then that evening, I saw an interview where she's saying that she immediately recorded the video that we all saw the next day. Mm-hmm. And she said she slept on it, which I thought was really interesting, especially because she was, you know, she didn't name drop the executive, but she was just really upset about it. And so you could tell how upset she was because she had just learned. And then she dropped it the next morning. We all heard that. And then I think by that evening, there was a People magazine interview that came out where she went into the fact that there was an executive, a higher up executive, who had said he had not seen the show, was proud of not seeing the show, and how the show wasn't really for him. And then he was the one that ultimately said, no, we're not going to do this. And then there were several other things that kind of came out. There was, I think it was Deadline actually, came out with an article talking about, it was from a source from Hulu that was talking about why the show was axed, and it was essentially there was foundational problems. And then they said something about how it was too expensive, but then also not too big. Like there were things where like going back and forth. And then Sarah Michelle Gellar said that the script that was floating around, because there was a script that ended up getting leaked and people had thoughts about that. She was like, that's not the actual script we went with. It might have been like an initial one, but that was written 2 years before I think they started filming, or a year before they started filming, before they had even cast people. Yeah, just a lot of stuff in succession. Chloe Zhao, of course, was going to the Academy Awards. She talked about how she was not surprised that it got axed. She said they had a great time. She says, our priority has always been to be truthful to the show and be truthful to our fans. So things happen for a reason, and we keep our hearts open and welcome the mystery for what this may lead us to. And then everyone's like, does that mean there's going to be, it's going to get moved on to somewhere else? And she says, we welcome the mystery, which feels very much a whatever may happen is going to happen kind of statement. I don't think
that means like, oh, someone else is going to pick it up. Yeah.
And then Hulu finally said something, I think Tuesday or Wednesday. It was very vague. And they said, we have had a long and very successful relationship with Chloe Zhao and Sarah Michelle Gellar and Gail Berman. Which, reminder, Gail Berman was, I believe, a producer on the original show, at the very least a producer. Their track records speak for themselves, and they are incredible partners. A spokesperson for Disney Entertainment Television said in a statement on March 18th, our decision not to move forward with a series order is not a reflection of our respect and admiration for the creative team, including Lila and Nora, the Zuckerbergs, who wrote the pilot. So it, for all intents and purposes, the news that we're getting from Hulu is they want to keep the IP because they want to do something else with it. And that's what makes me honestly the biggest, like the most scared for this whole thing. If it was a, we're not doing anything with it, that's it. Like we're axing it. Show, like show's over, they're just not doing anything else with it. My concern is they want to reboot it with their own creative team and cast either a whole new Buffy and start from scratch and do a 2026 version of it.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
Yeah. And yes. So anyway, I have lots of thoughts about it. Like I have mixed feelings. With Sarah's, her statements and such, I could see two things happening. I could see Sarah and she said, she goes, it was very interesting and what she felt like intentional that they axed it and told her as she's promoting, like the weekend her movie's coming out and the weekend that Chloe Zhao is up for an Academy Award. She goes, that felt intentional and pointed. And it's also bizarre that they would do that right before this massive press tour that's happening, where this is all that, like Buffy, this is all that Sarah is talking about, other than the new movie, obviously. But there's interview after interview talking about the legacy of her character and this show. And so what's happening is, here we are a week later and the story isn't really dying. It's just continuing to percolate throughout the internet and the fans, and through everybody else who's not even fans are hearing about this because they're on a press tour and everybody wants to know the tea. And she keeps dropping new bits of information, which feels strategic to keep it in the culture zeitgeist. So it's possible she could be trying to rally the fans, rally as much interest as possible so that maybe
it doesn't another die. Network and momentum
picks it up, or Hulu decides to rework it, or they lease it to the IP to somebody else, or I don't know the exact terminology that it is for that, for behind the scenes and stuff. So it's possible, but everything that's coming out of Hulu makes me think they just want to do it on their own creative basis, and which means they don't like Chloe Zhao. And there's rumors that they don't like Chloe Zhao's vision. Which, if you don't like Chloe Zhao's vision, you lose Sarah Michelle Gellar.
That's what,
because Sarah Michelle Gellar came on for that and has said no to multiple iterations of Buffy that has been shot
and
to her.
And I trust her too. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's possible that's happening. But I also theorize, I think there can be more than one thing happening. I think Sarah is also first of all, she was being very strategic by being the one that released these news before it broke by anybody else. She said this. She started this revival for the fans. So it was important to her that they heard from us. She was not able to break the news to us first that the revival was even happening. Leia and I both suspect that the news got released before they were ready to announce that the revival was happening. And then I don't know if you remember, a couple days later, that's when Sarah Michelle Gellar posted on Instagram saying, "Hey, I realized you haven't heard from me." I think it was important for her that we hear it from her first that it was not happening. That tells me a lot of stuff right there. I think that with it being a male executive who seemed to kind of have it out for the show, possibly even personally with Sarah and with Chloe, I suspect that that kind of triggered some things that felt reminiscent to the whole Joss Whedon experience on the OG Buffy.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
And it's possible that Sarah, because I mean, she gave an interview with people saying that I have nothing else left to prove. She's in a place in her career now where she can come out and say these things. And she is, unfortunately, she's believed a lot more because of her track record. She should be believed on, like, you know, but, you know, she has more of a track record. But also, she was so, so strategic by her being the person to break all this news and immediately get an interview with People Magazine and say all of this stuff. She sets the narrative tone. She allows for, and then now if we're watching, Hulu has to issue these statements, has to have these sources that come out and say these things and stuff, because she's set the, not the expectation, but she's kind of set the precedent for what people are going to be hearing about the story. And so Disney kind of has to do a little bit of damage control. Yeah. So I think in a way it's SMG having learned a lot from her past in the industry. And for years, we've heard rumors about her being called difficult to work with, a diva on set, because she stuck up for herself and for others by her getting ahead of the narrative. This is her able to take it back and get ahead of all of that stuff so that anything else, you know, that comes up, she can just be like, I've already talked about this. So anyway, I think it was brilliant. I think there are many things happening. Who knows? I don't know. My first gut instinct when all of this came out and she said her stuff is, oh, she's done, done. Like, it felt like a burning of bridges in some way. In some ways, I don't know. We'll see. I don't know how the industry works. Maybe, like, things will come out. Maybe there needs to be a little bit of pressure. But I just, I have a sinking suspicion that it's not going to happen. That, like, it's done. And, yeah. So, I, for those of you who follow us on Instagram, there was this article that I posted that I read today, and it's written by this gal named Duana. She's a television screenwriter whose credits include Degrassi, The Next Generation, Lost Girl, Lost and Found Studios, and is the author of the best-selling book, The Name Therapist. And she wrote an article called Buffy Summers and the New Sunnydale would have saved the world a lot. And I wanted to read it for you. It's kind of long, but it's so, so good. I'll try to paraphrase where I can, but you guys know me. It basically gets to the heart of someone who's in the industry and behind the scenes. She kind of gives an insider's peek into what she thinks is happening with the sequel. And it kind of is what I've suspected. Yeah, so I'm going to read it for you. It's very interesting. So she says, famed screenwriter William Goldman said it best, sequels are whores movies. Modernized for today's world, I guess you could paraphrase it, reboots are whores series. Too much? Too strong for this early in the day or to be associated with the recently murdered Buffy reboot? Not at all. If anything, I'm being too gentle. So come with me on a journey. And then she talks about being in LA over the weekend when the Buffy cancellation happened. She talks about Sarah Michelle Gellar calling out Hulu, saying that we had an executive on our show who was not only not a fan of the original, but was proud to constantly remind us that he had never seen the entirety of the series and how it wasn't for him. She goes on to say, not Sarah Michelle Gellar, Duana says, so why did he buy it then? Also, there was a nominal attempt by People not to name the exec, but Deadline and others have confirmed the exec is named Craig Erwich. More on him later. First of all, see above, reboots are whore series. I want to be clear about what this means, especially in the context William Goldman wrote it. Before context becomes a thing we're not illegally allowed to have online anymore. It means that any given idea, story, or whatever is written initially because the writer thinks it's a great idea and that they could theoretically sell it, is first and foremost. A sequel or reboot is written because the first one made money and someone wonders if there could be more money. Again, I need to be clear. This doesn't mean a reboot is bad. In fact, they can be wonderful. My favorite movie, Sister Act 2, is a sequel, and one of the best jobs of my career was on a reboot that ran nearly three times longer than its predecessor, which is Degrassi. Super successful reboots get upgraded to franchises, a la Star Trek, Star Wars, and the stories goes on forever. But Buffy never got as far as being a franchise, partly because it and its spinoff Angel were ahead of their time, partly because the moment where appetite for a reboot coincided with possibility was the moment Charisma Carpenter, Kai Cole, and a score of writers and crew members spoke their truths about how the creator of those shows had treated them, and partly because Buffy was a little blonde girl, and no matter how big or enduring the fandom, men will always try to diminish a young woman's success. Yeah, I said it. Late Monday night, Deadline ran an autopsy report from insiders at Hulu/The Reboot, explaining why it didn't work. I am very sorry to tell you that you're going to get a crash course in network notes. They are brutal, opaque, and they almost never mean what they say they mean, which sadly can be industry standard. Allegedly, one of the first complaints of the original pilot script for Buffy New Sunnydale, an early version is floating online but is definitively not what was shot, was that it read too young. So first I have to ask, for whom? You cast a 15-year-old so you'd have longevity in the role. You are recreating this show for a new generation, obviously for the Zillennials who grew up watching it. Young is going to be nostalgic. For the new fans, it's going to be a show they can get on board with and grow with. Am I wrong? Was anyone under the impression this show was going to be an opposite, a grisly season of True Detective? What does too young mean context? Too young for who, Hulu? Yeah, that came out in that in one of the articles that where they said the issues that were wrong.
Stupidest thing I've ever heard.
The issues they said that were wrong from the notes from Hulu was they didn't like Chloe Zhao's, and they thought her creative viewpoint was I think clashed with what I think they wanted creatively. But then they said that it was too young. It felt too young.
But again, isn't the whole point like high school is hell? And if we're going to hire actual teens, then make it teen storylines. I'm on board with that. We'll grow into the story.
That's the point that she's going to make. So she says, further, the writers of the pilot are Nora and Lila Zuckerman, who have a long list of credits, including Suits, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Poker Face. They know how to write young people, and they know how to spin a fun and quippy yarn with tons of murders. You knew who they were when you approved them to write the script, which makes me question, What is it you were hoping to feel that you aren't? I have a sneaking suspicion I know the answer, and I really don't like it. Nobody has said this out loud, but too young often coincides with the note, make it sexier, which doesn't literally mean sexier, except when it does. In today's world where Gen Zs and Gen Alphas complain too much is about sex and romance and they wish there was more Platonica, I can see the disconnect. The 2024 script has 15-year-olds acting very 15, and given that the stars were also very young, there was no loophole for ogling young women in miniskirts, but believing that it was okay because the actress is like 20 or so. Like Pretty Little Liars, all these other CW shows, they had older actresses. So when you sexualize them, it was kind of a gray area that they could get away with because, aren't actually children.
I'm really honest.
But they're supposed to be.
I was just talking with, I've talked to a few different people with different perspectives on like Euphoria. And like, I enjoy Euphoria because I think it's very well written. It's a lot to stomach a lot of the times, but it is unfortunately some reality for a lot of high schoolers. But that doesn't mean that the way that it's shot, and I think I'm like, why are we having like genitalia and showing like high schoolers have this sort of sexual content when all the actors are in their 20s? I think they should be aged up. It feels a little bit icky to watch, in my opinion.
Oh, you think it's even icky with them in their 20s? Or do you think that the fact that they're supposed to be
teenagers? Icky that they're supposed to be high schoolers. And then there's that loophole where they can kind of,
Yes.
And I get it that that's like the reality for a lot of like high schoolers, you know, getting into drugs and having sex and all that sort of stuff. But it just like the way that it's like so overt because they are 20-year-olds makes me feel uncomfortable because they're supposed to be high schoolers.
And I think, and it's really interesting, Tabby, Leah and I have been talking about this because we're currently watching Stranger Things and we're going through Eleven's past right now. And I was telling Leah, I think our stomach for watching children, and that includes teenagers, doing things on screen, being exposed to things, abuse, sexual situations, being sexualized, my stomach for it is less and less. Not that it ever should have been, you know, I find my ability to tolerate it is less and less because of what's happening culturally right now with the Epstein files and the realization of how our culture has sexualized young women, or no, children, girls who were really, really young. I think it's making us realize how much we have just, I don't want to say allowed because it's not necessarily been us, but how much of it is in our media.
Well, I think that it's not just like the sexual stuff. I think everything right now, TV and movies, is bigger and better. So that trickles down to everything. It's no longer just like even like when Buffy and Angel had sex in season 2, it was very tasteful. And like, it just was kind of like a fade to black. That's no longer kind of expected. Or not even expected. It's no longer like kind of accepted. I just like, if we're going to have teenagers, the way that Buffy did it was great. Cause like even the more like spicier scenes, I say that in quotations compared to what's, you know, the standard now is like in season 6 and 7. And that's fine. We have several years of growing up with these actors where I'm able to be like, okay, they're in their 20s now. It makes sense to be seeing a little bit
more.
And
the characters are supposed to be in their 20s now,
for
too.
For sure, because we grew up with them. But it's like, if I'm watching like Ryan or whatever as like the young lead, I was really excited because that never once popped into my brain when it was in the hands of Chloe and Sarah Michelle Gellar. I was like, oh my gosh, we're going to get like a really good coming of age. And also there's so many newer themes that we could tackle with the, I guess like the premise and the way that the Buffy handles all this stuff, like the way that is uniquely done in the Buffy universe. There's so many modern things that we could do with that. And I was really excited to kind of that be the focus, not have to worry about anything else for a few seasons, you know? Not to say that they wouldn't be dating other people, but it's like, that's supposed to be secondary, you know? That's true. I didn't like think of it too much like that, but when you're reading the article, I'm like, it makes sense that they would think
that. She goes on, the article says, all that said, Hulu has the right to give notes and to make the show they want to make. They're paying and they know their audience, right? So the pilot was rewritten to a 90-minute length and to include more of Sarah Michelle Gellar's Buffy as opposed to just the new teen characters. This also served to address another reported note on the original pilot that it doesn't take enough big swings. It feels small. This is another note that can really mean everything and nothing. I've had this note given and it went something like this. We need something more, something bigger, like this thing that happened to me in high school. For the record, the thing that happened to this person in high school was not that great, but in the context of television, where a 1 is Stephanie Tanner being stood up for a date and moping around the Full House living room, and a 10 is Ricky being the victim of homophobic violence on My So-Called Life, this event was a 6, maybe a 6.5. Okay, I hear that you want more, I would say. What if we have some police violence? Would that turn it up maybe to an 8, an 8.5? No, not that much, but something. Gosh, okay, well, we could have the house blow up or some other accident, have one of our main characters die and shock everyone watching. No, we don't want to go that far. Okay, well, should we find out that one of the characters has a rough life at home? And so, no, not like that. It's just in high school, this one thing happened and cue my eyes and everyone else's on the call's eyes glazing over as the exec described what happened in high school for the millionth time. So do you want me to just do what happened to you? No, of course not. Like, whatever you want, you figure it out. Thanks for coming with me on that digressive therapy session. My point is that doesn't take enough big swings is definitively subjective. And again, depends entirely on what the goal is for the show, which brings us back to who are we trying to reach here? Let's be real. The show was called Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It has always been niche. And those who were turned off by the title when they were young aren't suddenly going to change their minds because 30 years have passed. The legacy fans are going to show up, of course, but I don't think we're getting a whole bunch of new millennial viewers based on the premise that the show is now cooler and sexier, right? Meanwhile, the actually young, the new audiences who would follow the show, they'll find it because it's for them, because it speaks to them, and the outcasts on screen reflect the way the audience sees themselves. I say that about outcasts because here's the thing. 90% of the time when executives give notes like these, what they're actually saying is, I want to be producing a show that is, in my mind, cooler than this. Mm-hmm. So make it cooler so it feels cool, so I feel cool. The other 10% of the time when it's not about this, they usually find a better way to express it anyway. It's enraging because the original Buffy wasn't cool, and that was the point. The characters were outcasts, and that's why they found each other. The situations they found themselves in meant they'd never be in the inner circle, and that's where the stories come from. The people who loved the show, much like those who love ballet and opera, by the way, sorry, but it's still relevant. Not Timmy getting shots here. Already knew their interests weren't mainstream and were far past trying to change that. Then a show like this comes along and affirms who they are. Yeah, of course you have fans for life. So, Oscar-winning director, super decorated writers, beloved legacy cast, it was all there. And they'd all agreed on a direction that was young, fresh, engaging, not super dark, and sexy, reportedly what Sarah Michelle Gellar was most adamant she didn't want the revival to be. So why were Greg Urwich and his team insistent on making the show something it was never supposed to be? One guess. Yep, you're right. It's because money and clout, because he wants to be the guy who rebooted a cool franchise at Hulu and to get all the credit and accolades and more power. Deadline reports that after calling Sarah Michelle Gellar on Friday night to tell her the show was off, Hulu announced a restructuring, and Urwich, who never got tired of telling Sarah Michelle Gellar and co. that he didn't get the show, has gotten a promotion and a portfolio expansion. So good for him. More money is coming his way, I guess. But that's not... That happened, by the way, that happened before it, like, it wasn't like it got canceled and, ooh, he gets a promotion. Like, that was already in the works. And a lot of people hypothesized that Urwich getting a promotion stuff put him in a position of power to be able to possibly say no to the franchise. Who knows? I don't know the inner workings of it. But yeah, she continues. But that's not where good storytelling comes from. Yes, you don't put money or explosions or sex on screen in stories that don't need them because they're cool to someone somewhere. You put them in when they need to be there to tell the story of the characters you're talking about. But there are many execs, not just men, I should say, who feel like smaller stories just aren't worth telling or won't hold the attention of an adult audience. And maybe they wouldn't. But the devoted fan base of Buffy, those media savvy, mature elder millennials with disposable income, they started watching as teenagers. The show was for them, and that's why it worked. So why wouldn't you start young again? Give the show somewhere to go. Anyway, that 90-minute pilot, some say it was great, but according to some unnamed intel in the Deadline article, there were worries it was going to cost too much to shoot after they made the scope larger. And then the other note was, we weren't sure the structure was going to hold. Or in one case, they said it still fell short of the high bar set by the original series, which, guys, she says, the original show is now frequently named among some of the best TV ever made and definitely dealt with mature themes in new and engaging ways, but not at first. She says season one had stories like the swim team is turning into fish monsters. Side note, that's season two, but we'll give her a pass. She says, again, these are all reasonable concerns about a pilot, but when they asked you to make it bigger and then say it's too big, or nobody can put their finger on what was wrong with the pilot per se, it feels like moving the goalposts, because it's clear that maybe nobody at Hulu was exactly sure why they were making it or for whom, because they were making it to make money. Reboots are whores series. And this is the most, like, poignant paragraph to me. What's most painful about this, of course, is that Sarah Michelle Gellar so famously said she had brushed off other opportunities to do a reboot, some of which, I bet, were more financially lucrative than a pilot in 2026. But she chose to do it because she believed in Chloe Zhao's vision and her rationale for why now was the time to bring the story back. That story zeal is long gone now, and it's a safe bet that none of the women involved this round will be back, even as Deadline assures us there are still plans for a hard reboot of the Buffy IP in a few years. Shudder. There are a lot of I told you so's online, people who never wanted the series rebooted, and maybe they were right that this would always be a conflict of art and commerce. I don't have to tell anyone that money is winning over art on the daily in Hollywood, mm-hmm. but I'm reminded of Conan O'Brien here of all people. We shouldn't be cynical. We should believe the right stories will be told at the right time and that the connections we have to the original show are still real and valid. But one lesson from the show's earliest themes is still very relevant here. There's a reason not to trust the popular kids. R.I.P. Buffy Summers and New Sunnydale. They probably would have saved the world a lot.
Ugh, I'm bummed. But yeah, true.
I think she's spot on though. Mm-hmm. I was initially, we all know this, I was initially not on board with the revival until I heard Sarah say that she was a part of it, that she was excited and she gave her reasonings with Chloe Zhao. And then I go, hang on, she has a story to tell and I'm here for that. And that's what gave me hope, because if you have something meaningful to share, if you have a story you're excited about, you have somewhere to go, then I'm willing to watch it and get through the bumps and as you figure it out, because mm-hmm. I trust that there's something meaningful at the end of it all and there's heart to it. Most revivals and reboots aren't good and don't make sense because it's literally just cashing in on a franchise that mm-hmm. worked before. And I think that's why I'm so desperately like sad, because I want to know what it is that they were so excited about. And I wanted to follow them on that journey and mm-hmm. meet those new characters. Buffy being there was the icing on the cake. Mm-hmm. Oh, I just, it's
also making, it's sad. Making that drastic of a decision to axe it off of, I mean, obviously, I don't think it's just because of the pilot, but based off of a one pilot. You know what I mean? Being like, oh, it's going to be bad. I'm like, based off of one episode. Okay, for sure, you guys. Yeah. Like,
and I don't think that's the real reason. Like no, she said, I think they think they can pump more money out of it by rebooting it and making it sexier and making it more like.
But stuff like that. Like, it's like, okay. And I'm going to equate this a little bit too, because I just watched it. The new Wuthering Heights movie. It's like, just because something is visually stunning and like, you know, sexier than the source material. There's a lot there. I don't really care to dive into what everyone's talking about it, you know? But what I'm saying is like, it's visually stunning. It's bigger, in quotes, bigger and better and sexier. But you're stripping the whole story and the whole themes and everything of what made the book a classic that has stood the test of time for hundreds of years. Just to have like a pretty experience. Like I watched it and I was like, yeah, obviously it's objectively stunning. This movie's gorgeous. Like these shots are beautiful, but it's stale. And I just feel like that's what's going to happen. That's what people think that people want. And there is an audience for that. I'm not going to say that there isn't, but those things are not going to last. Like when I'm looking at some of the stuff that happened, like pretty but no substance, that were really big a couple years ago, I've never once sat here and be like, I'm gonna revisit that just because the shots are really pretty. I'm like, yeah, like it's a good like little addition, but it's never gonna be something like, dude, do you know how many of my favorite shows were made in the 2000s and the special effects are literally horrendous, but the story is good? I can name several.
Doctor Who.
It's literally at the top of it being Doctor Who, you know, in early Buffy. It's like, do I get a little bit cringed out when I rewatch? Yeah, but like the whole point is the story and the characters. And that's mm-hmm. what makes a long lasting fandom and a good story. And also both of those shows, specifically Buffy and Doctor Who, have a very loyal fan base who love the story and the characters, and for good reason. Like people who have a heart for it are going to be loyal to it if the writing is good. You know, like I'm way more willing to have patience for something that has not much of a budget if the story's there.
Yeah. Yep.
But there's totally also some agree. People I know out there that don't really care as much. They do want to be kind of visually stimulated. But that's not true art. It is fun to experience every now and again. There is a space for that with some movies or television or whatever, but like not everything has to be along those lines, because then we're sacrificing good stories for that.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's not really much more to say other than I'm sad. I wish we could know what all it was. Maybe one day we will know. Maybe thing this will get picked up and their stuff will actually get to happen. But then again, maybe not. Maybe in a few years, we're going to have a whole new Buffy the Vampire series.
I think that's more likely, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think that is more likely. Yeah, I know I can hear the question 1,000 people are saying. I won't be talking about it probably. I will wait, obviously, to see what people are saying about it and stuff. But if it's through Hulu and Disney, the same people who canceled this last one, I don't really have much hope for it. And yeah, anyway, we'll cross that bridge when we get there and stuff. But that leads me to the next thing, which I am sure you guys probably have already guessed it. I think depending upon what title I put on this episode, but with the news of the revival ending, and I hate to add another thing to be sad about, but Becoming Buffy is ending. We knew we wanted to come back for the revival. We were planning on, once Becoming Buffy ended, being done with the podcast. But then, of course, the last few months of us recording, there was the news of revival. And then it was like, well, how can we not come back? This feels a little perfect. And obviously, while we're so, so proud of everything that we accomplished and stuff, we did do it for 5 years. And our lives, Tabby and I were just talking, our lives are very different. Leah having a baby, Tabby with her schedule and everything. I think it's just become really hard for all three of us to be able to carve out time that works for each of us. All that to say is we're so insanely proud of Becoming Buffy. And it kind of feels very right in a lot of ways to be like, we're done with it and we're just leaving it as Buffy. It's not going to be, because I know a lot of other shows will pivot onto a different show or do something else. It kind of feels very complete to just have it all Buffy stuff. And I'm so proud. Like, I've even had people joke and be like, oh my gosh, go through the series again. And for a brief minute, I'm always like, ooh. And then I sit there and I go, I don't know that I could do it better. Like, I don't know what else to say. I feel like I exhausted every single thing that I possibly could. And I don't know. I love this show so much. And I've really enjoyed doing it with two of my favorite people in the whole world. And we've had so much fun. We've gotten to know so many people. Mm-hmm. We've gotten to know you guys. I'm still getting emails from people talking about episodes. We're still having so many people downloading and listening to episodes. And I'm just really proud of it. And so in a lot of ways, as sad as it is, that was another thing that was really hard this week, is going, well, I think Becoming Buffy's done. So it was like the revival's ending, Nicholas Brendan, and then it was like, we're finishing Becoming Buffy, which has been my life for the past 6 years. It was very sad. But at the end of the day, like, I think it's the right time. I think it's the right decision. Yeah. So I don't know if there's anything you wanted to say about that, Tabs.
I feel like it's also important to know too, like, we're still going to be in the podcast space. It just will look different too. Like, I know that Leah, Sarah, and I have all been a guest on different podcasts since we've kind of ended our podcast.
Yeah, I think once a month there's been like an episode with one of us.
Yeah.
On a different podcast airing.
For sure. And like, we'll definitely try, like, in the future, if we can, like, to have even just like a little bit of time where all three of us are together. And also, like, never say never too. Like, there might be a year or two from now, like, all three of us sit down and be like, hey, like, here's our life. Here's what's going on. And like, maybe there's news in the fandom that happened that are positive and like, we can kind of adjust. It's just like, it feels like life right now. It just felt like the natural kind of conclusion to just like the more consistent form of this podcast specifically. it feels more emotional this time around than it did last year when we concluded, because I just was like so burnt out and kind of like ready to not be recording every week. But I'm so endlessly proud of our podcast. I'm so proud of like how much it's reached, way more than I ever thought that it would be. It's just, it's hard to fathom. And I'm just like very proud of this podcast. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to process, and it's hard to feel like it's coming to a conclusion. But again, like, I've been on Revamped. I've been on All Bronze No Brains. You guys should go check them out. They're really great. They're friends of ours. And I'm just so thankful. Yeah, sometimes I look back on this podcast and I'm like, I really don't know how we did it all with our busy schedules, like for 5 years too. Like, that is a huge feat. And like, and
but we also talking about the perfect timing too, because no lie, literally, I think it was 2 weeks after we finished recording is when Leah got pregnant. She was so sick. And then you started a new job and you were working nights. And so it literally would have been impossible for us to have finished the show after those two things happened. So it just, everything worked out exactly the way it was supposed to.
Yeah. We're still around. It's just going to be a bit different. Like, our page is still very active. Sarah's on it all the time. I'll pop in every now and again. I don't know about Leah, but we'll tell her about it. But we love you guys. Like, I'm just, again, just so grateful and thankful for this experience. And I'm just so happy that we did it and we concluded it.
I haven't talked about it in a while, but I think most of you guys know me and my friend Leah, who's been on here a few times, started our own separate podcast back in season 4 of Becoming Buffy, where we did the spinoff show of Angel called Investigating Angel. We've actually also finished over there Angel back in, I think, July, or I think we finished it actually before we finished Becoming Buffy, which was hilarious. I was like, still doing Becoming Buffy. So we're done over there, but Leah and I are coming back on April 2nd. Which is like a week, almost, a week and a half away. We're starting Stranger Things. So Leah and I are going to go through that. Tabby, I know I've already told you I want you on the show. And Leah, at some point, hopefully we'll be able to come over. We'll see with her schedule and everything. But I know at some point they'll be over there individually. Maybe one day, again, like I said, we could get a unicorn of an episode and have all three of us on at some point. But yeah, I know I'm not the favorite sister, but I'm over there. We've already recorded like 3 or 4 episodes, and I'm so proud of what we've done. And I think it's going to be so fun. So we're still doing that. I have found a newfound love for podcasting. I think I'm going to be podcasting for a while, so my voice will be out there. But then again, also on Instagram, we have done so much good stuff over there. I have a lot of amazing essays, if I do say so myself.
Yeah.
Essays, videos, TikToks, lots of fun stuff over there. I'm actually planning for the month of April. I'm going to do a 30-day challenge of my favorite social media stuff that I've done. So videos that I've done, I'm going to repost it just because I feel like a lot of stuff got buried. And also there's a lot of stuff that when we were really, really small, not a lot of people saw. So I'm going to go back through for 30 days and bring up some of our older posts and kind of do like, yeah, I think it's going to be really fun. Yeah. Just something a little positive. Also to remind me too, it's been 6 years since I rewatched the show, which is crazy because we were going through the show, but I like season 1 and stuff. I'm seeing these little clips every once in a while. I'm like, I haven't watched the show in a while.
I know.
So
yeah, I had to watch, or didn't have to, but I did. Because like, even though I haven't watched like every single episode, I'm like, I could tell you everything that happens and everything and all of them for sure.
It's burning my brain.
When I was most recently on All Bronze No Brains and I watched Helpless, which is like historically been one of my favorite episodes, but I hadn't seen it in years, guys. Like, I'll see clips if it's like edited or whatever, but I haven't seen it all the way through in years, which is again crazy. I could tell you literally shot for shot the episode, but it's different like when you're watching it. And I was telling them, if you listen to the episode, I was telling them when I was watching it, I was like, guys, like, I am And I got like weirdly emotional when I was like watching it, because I just was like, I'm a fan of this show. Like, you forget sometimes because like you're just, you're doing the podcast or like
you're analyzing
it. You're talking about other people with it. It becomes like a different part of your brain when you're consuming it or talking about it. But now when I was just sitting there watching it all the way through, I was like, oh my God, I love Buffy. I was like, I love this show. Yeah. Like, I don't like just, I felt like a fan again, and I haven't felt that in so long. So it felt so emotional, but like, I think that's kind of how I feel about this podcast now. It's like, it felt like a job for so long, positive and in a positive way.
It's just a different way of viewing the show. You don't look at it so much as you look as a fan and also a critic in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And then going back and watching this show without having to take notes and stuff is just really, it's refreshing, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So all that to say is, I don't remember what my segue was going to be.
You were saying that, you haven't seen the show in 6 years.
Yeah, I haven't seen the show in 6 years, and so I'm looking forward to sitting down and just watching it again and enjoying it for what it is again. But again, and I haven't forgotten about the book that I'm writing that is in the back of my mind. Things have just been crazy. I actually forced myself I stopped releasing episodes and doing anything podcast related the beginning of August. That's when Investigating Angel ended. And I immediately wanted to jump into writing, and I promised myself to not touch anything podcast or anything, because my brain was tired. I needed a break. And so I gave myself 6 months, and then Leigh and I were like, let's do Stranger Things. And then I'm like, great, now when am I going to find time? But it is in the back of my mind. It's going to happen. I want to compile all the notes, the things that we discussed and talked about in book form, because I want it for myself to be able to go back and read. And I'm very proud of a lot of the stuff that I've written. But all of that's like on our Instagram. And I feel like it's buried the way Instagram is. It's really hard to get to a lot of that stuff, which is why I'm going to do the 30-day challenge. And so, yeah, that was where I was going with that, is being able to go back through and look at the reasons why we love the show. I think I'm looking for a little bit of hope and a little bit of joy right now with all of the really heavy things that have been happening. So I think doing the 30-day challenge will just be so fun. But yeah, our Instagram is still alive and well. I probably maybe once in a while will post funny videos, all that stuff. You guys can always DM us. You can always email us. And find me over. It's not Investigating Angel anymore. It's now just Investigating, just because that works better for any other shows we decide to do. The other thing that I was going to say, so a couple of like just announcement things. We have like, I don't even remember, like 28 to 30 something episodes that have been behind a paywall, our Scooby Secrets episodes. So starting, I think, at the end of season 4, we started putting our spoiler episodes and then bonus episodes for our subscribers and paying members and stuff. Well, since the show is ending, I'm going to be releasing all of those episodes onto our main feed. So there's a ton of you that have not listened to some of these episodes and some of our bonus. I think we went through the entire Twilight series. We did Interview with a Vampire. We also covered the OG Buffy movie, and I'm very proud of it because we went through the OG script that Joss Whedon wrote, which is pretty cool. Like, we was in depth. It took us a while. I'm very proud of that bonus episode. And then we have countless like spoiler episodes and stuff. So it's something like 30 something episodes, maybe slightly less. I don't remember. So I'm going to post that probably sometime later this week. I'm going to post this episode. I want this to be up for a couple of days before I post that one, because I feel like it's going to kind of get buried. But yeah, keep an ear out for that. And then last thing is, okay, so we had talked, well, I don't know if we've actually ever talked about it. So I had bought sweatshirts for Tabby, Leah, and I with Becoming Buffy on it last year as kind of a end of the podcast thing. Well, then Tabby posted on Instagram about it. No, it's totally fine. Tabby was like, guys, merch. And everyone was like, you have merch. And I was like, that's just for us. And we got a bunch of requests and people being like, hey. So then I was like, okay, I've never really thought it. Because here's the thing, guys. I did not do podcasting to make money. I know we did like the subscribers things. That was literally just to pay for microphones and the upkeep of the podcast. I think we ended up like paying for a couple of microphones that broke throughout the time that we were recording. So If I make merch, it's not really to make a profit. It's so that we can all have fun wearing, like, it's also to be like, I have merch too. And be like, hey, we get to wear stuff. I'm like literally wearing our sweatshirt right now. So, okay. I ordered the sweatshirts for Tabby, Leah, and I off of this website that it's where like coaches will go and they'll take pre-orders from people and they'll order in mass quantities and it all gets sent to the coach and then the coach distributes it to people and they pay in cash. Like that's the kind of thing it is. I wanted it to be the specific like old gold color because our podcast color is yellow and it's really hard to find a nice looking yellow. And I really liked this one. So a bunch of you guys, we took a poll and stuff, something like 100 something of you guys said on Instagram said you were interested in our merch. That's not, I know there's a lot of people that listen to us that don't follow us on Instagram. So I'm sure there's probably a lot more people that want the merch. So then I started looking into it and I realized that the only way to get the exact sweatshirts that we have, what would have to happen is people would have to individually message me, give me their address, and also like Venmo me or Zelle me. And then I would have to go on there and then ship it directly from the company to them. Or I'd have to like take pre-orders from everybody, have it shipped to my house, and then individually package and send it out to hundreds of you guys. And I was like, I can't do that. So I never really – and then the other option was I found another website where you can go on. You can purchase it on your own. But I could not find the exact color that we have. And so I felt bad being like, here's merch, guys, but it didn't look like the picture that Tabby had shown you and the ones that we have. So I kind of shelved the idea. We haven't really done it. But with the podcast ending, I have that website that I created the merch. It's actually pretty cute. There's some like black and white and cream. I have some hats that are pretty cute. I think I might get a Becoming Buffy hat for us. They're embroidered. The logo's embroidered cute on the hats and on the sweatshirts. And they're not quite the same shade of yellow. It's slightly different and stuff. It's on printful.com. You guys can look up Becoming Buffy. I will also put the link in this episode's description, probably maybe on our Instagram. So if you guys want to go on there, you can look at. There's some like cute cropped sweatshirts. There's longer sweatshirts. So if you guys want that, you guys can totally go on there and purchase it and stuff. I hesitate to say this because I don't want people to think that I'm trying to scam them or I'm trying to take their money. if you're like, no, I'm a purist, I have to have the same sweatshirt you guys have, you guys are more than welcome to email me. And we can try and figure something out. But it would require me to have your address and you would have to like Venmo me or Zelle me money. But I don't mind putting an order in and sending it directly to your house if you want that. I just didn't want to make people feel uncomfortable and be like, send me money. And then give me your address, because I felt like that would make people feel uncomfortable. But if you're like, I really want one of those sweatshirts, guys, I'm not going to scam you. I will put that order in for you. It's no biggie. But if not, go get the other stuff. So all that to say is we do have merch. Yeah. I figured, you know what? Screw it. We're just going to do it. It's just going to be fun. And maybe somebody out there will be wearing our merch. Who knows? So yeah. So that's all I got to say. Yeah. I don't know why I put that at the end. That seems like a weird place to end the podcast. Guys, go buy our merch. No, and I mean, at this point, I'm repeating myself, but thank you so much, guys, for listening to us for the past 6 years. Thank you for engaging with us. Thank you for making my life so much richer, for listening to all the things that I have to say, all my monologues, all those long, long hours of us recording. Yeah, this has been an experience of a lifetime, and I'm so proud of what we have accomplished. And I'm so thankful for you guys. And I'm thankful for the show. And yeah, we'll see what the future holds, right?
Leah agrees with everything you said, by the way.
Yeah. Leah signs on. In spirit. Yeah. Yes, she does. But yeah. So anyway, go listen to Revamped. Go listen to All Bronze, No Brains. Go listen to all the other Buffy podcasts. We'll be around. Go listen to Investigating if you guys, you know, want to keep listening to me talk about Stranger Things and hear Tabby and Leah every once in a while. But we love you guys. We're so thankful. But for now, this is goodbye. That sounds really sad. All right. Well, but for now, this is wrapped. I don't know how to end it. But for now, it's goodbye. Like, everybody's sobbing. So sorry. Anyway, all right,
guys. We're still on the Instagram page, too. It's not like we fully left. We're still around. Yeah. If you want to tell Leah again how much you love her, we will see that. Yeah, if you
send DMs and we'll screenshot it. And send it to her. No. All right. Well, for the last time, and as always, guys, thanks for listening. And we will hopefully talk to you the next time.